Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Coverage of A League of Their Own, the Amazon Prime TV show coming to us this August. My name is Grace. I am here with two co-hosts. First, I'll introduce Marissa Garza. Marissa, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm excited. We're going to talk about baseball shows.
Baseball? Yeah. In the summer. Who'd have thunk?
I know. And also joined here by Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you doing?
I'm good. I just cried in baseball. I mean, if you're not crying during every single baseball game, are you even doing it right? That's the real question.
Listen, there's a lot of baseball in the season. They play a lot of games. I don't know if I would have enough tears to cry at every single game. And I love
baseball. Yeah. I have enough tears. I promise you that. I promise you that. I'm really excited to cover A League of Their Own, the Amazon series, Amazon Prime. I'm so excited. It's going to be good.
Yeah. You and I, this is not the first time we're on a podcast talking about A League of Their Own. You had me on for, what was the name of the
Mayball?
Mayball.
Yeah. Grace, this was your piece of art and you not even remembering it. It's sticking with me because The thing is, Grace, is that you're very witty. Although I try to be never as witty as you. So you came up with Mayball, where we had, and this is over at Shit 90 Shows, Tommy. Yes. We had a baseball themed month. We covered the Sandlot. And A League of Their Own, and there is no mystery which baseball movie I enjoy more. And of course it's A League of Their Own, and we had a great time covering it over on Shit 90 Shows, Tommy. I thought that we had a great time, so I'm really excited to cover this movie with you again. We love it so much, and the show.
Yes. And I'm not sure when this, came over. I think at one point we were talking, I think it was probably somebody posted the trailer or news about, A League of Their Own, the TV show coming. And I saw that you were extremely excited about this, show coming. What's your history with A League of Their Own, Marissa?
My history with League of Their Own in my house, in my nuclear family house, is not called League of Their Own. It's called Girls Play Baseball.
Okay.
Because my sister and I are 8 years apart. And so we had to find like things to, you know, bond on. And this was one of those things. This movie was one of those things. She was really into softball and baseball. And my dad learned English by watching the Cubs. So baseball has always been a big part of my life. Like, seriously, my dad, I think, knows like ERAs from times that I wasn't even born in. I don't know how he remembers these statistics, but he's one of the statistic sides of baseball people. And then I, in college, studied baseball as a way to study history. So I looked at baseball through the lens of race, through the lens of gender, through the lens of economics, all of that stuff. So baseball has always been an interesting topic for me. And so I was excited that there's a show about girls play baseball that I could talk about with my friends. It was a good time.
Let's rename it Girls Play Baseball. That's so much better. This will not be the only the baseball pod coming out in the feed today. There'll also be the top 10 baseball movies. I will not spoil where A League of Their Own places, but the TV show, I mean, I was extremely excited when I saw this news. A League of Their Own is, you know, it's up there. It's probably in my like top three favorite movies, I think. I could watch this movie over and over again. I watched it again today, and it's I just love it so much. Like, pretty much everything about it, except for the things that they omit, I guess, is the one thing I like don't love. But for the most part, it's just so fun, and I was extremely excited by the idea that like Abby Jacobson from Broad City, executive producer, along with Will Graham, who did another Amazon Prime show called Mozart in the Jungle, which I think was like incredibly highly acclaimed. Yeah. And so the two of them are teaming up to play, but also like, you know, this cast is Shantae Adams, Darcy Carden, Darcy from The Good Place. I'm incredibly excited about this show coming. I'm excited that we'll be covering it here on Post Show Recaps.
Yeah, I think I first heard about it when we actually did cover A League of Their Own. And ever since then, it's always been top of mind. I'm really excited. I've loved this movie since I was a kid. We also were kind of a baseball family. My dad worked for the New York Yankees for more than 30 years as a radio producer. So we always liked baseball. We're also a Tom Hanks family and a Madonna family. Oh, so this was definitely the movie for me back in the day. Just such a feel-good movie. Probably one of my top 10 favorite movies.
Yeah, Marissa, what got you? I know we talked about it on the Discord, but what got you excited about this, the TV show?
Oh, I think just like the story of girls playing baseball is always like an interesting story. But there also was a lot of intrigue in terms of how the show was announced too. Like, it was like, hey, we're going to have this League of Their Own show. Cool. Okay. And these people are going to be in it. Cool. Well, when's it coming? So there was also the anticipation around that. Like, I don't think we got a release date until a month or so ago. It wasn't that long ago. And so it just seemed like a show like that is either going to be really good or really bad. And I wanted to find out. So
we'll see how it goes. I mean, for as much as I am so excited for the TV show, I am also incredibly nervous in terms of, I think that like, you know, seeing that it's Abby Jacobson, seeing that it's Will Graham, gives me some hope that it will be done well. I think there's like obviously big critiques that people can make about A League of Their Own that I think the show is going to try and make sure that they address. Notoriously, like, there is one scene that has Black people in the original movie, in which he like throws a baseball, and it's like supposed to be this like cute nod at the time, and very much now you're like, oh, that feels bad, that feels like you know, wrong. They don't even, she did, the woman who throws a baseball doesn't even say a single line in the movie.
No,
she just like gives like yep, and nods, and you're like, that's not great. I actually interviewed somebody for the Offspeed podcast, who's a couple, Brittany De La Creta, who did this whole article about the queer history of the All-Americans Girls Professional Baseball League. There was recently a movie that came out on Netflix. It was also about these like two women baseball players who were like been married together, you know, legally married, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, for like many years. I can't remember if both of them or one of them played in the AAGPBL. It was a little bit of a wordy title. We should tell them.
Yeah.
I think they do change the name of the league, like in real life, like a million times. But this league also has like a very big, like queer history that is also ignored, you know, in a 1992 film, as just to like, kind of be expected, but at the same time it's like, yeah, if you're gonna recreate this thing, I think like touching on some of those topics makes a lot of sense.
And I think it's important to notice that like when the show is coming out, like right now what's going on with all of these communities we just talked about, I think it's like showing that baseball, something that is considered as American as baseball, can be shared mm-hmm. by all of the groups, I think is an interesting timing correlation between the show and the world we're living in at this moment in time.
Yeah. I as somebody who, like, you know, when I transitioned, I was very, you know, this is a weird thing, but like worried that I was going to lose baseball as part of my identity, I think was like a thing I worried about. And I feel like this movie, I'd certainly like seen it a bunch of times. I feel like this movie was on TBS all the time, which is funny because like it feels like there are a bunch of movies that were on TBS all the time.
It's how could
the
they play so five many movies, right?
At the same time. Yeah. But this movie was on all the time, and I watched it so many times. But I think after I came out, it was like it also holds this like special place in my heart. Not just because like, I mean, there's the like the obvious thing of like, yeah, it's like a really emotional film. It's like very empowering, like women's empowerment. But also just like, gosh, every time I watch this movie, I'm like, this cast is amazing. This is like, Gina oh, yeah. Davis, Madonna, Rosie O'Donnell, Tom Hanks, obviously. Even
Bill
like
Pullman.
Bill Pullman shows up. And he's like, hey, I'm in this.
John Lovitz. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get to John Lovitz.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I forgot.
That's fine. I love, David Strathairn, who plays the league runner. Remember his name. But he has his cute little glasses. He's great. Ira Lowenstein, which we'll also get to the thing that they do at the end of the movie. But perhaps we should just talk about the movie, because I feel like I want to talk about the movie. Where should we begin with A League of Their Own? What's the headline coming out of A League of Their Own?
I think that it's basically, yes, it's a baseball movie, but for me, I just see it so much as a movie about sisters. Mm-hmm. I have a younger sister myself, and it's such a complex relationship between two sisters, especially when there's a competition between them. And I think that this really drives the story. In a way, Dottie would never be there in this league if it wasn't for Kit being so passionate about getting out of their small town. And Dottie was like, okay, you know, if the only way you'll get there is if I go, then I'll do it for you. So I kind of feel like it's a headline of the movie, but also it's kind of our driving force of how we get to where we go with A League of Their Own.
I would totally agree. I mean, it's like, not only is it like the inciting incident is basically that, like, it's Kit who gets Dottie to go, but then so much of like the actual story, there's almost like two things happening, which is like the really interpersonal dynamic between Dottie and Kit and some of the other people on the, you know, Dottie's relationship with Jimmy as well. And that all like has a path. Well, there's also this like the like much bigger thing of like, you know, whether the league is going to continue running. But I think like fundamentally the like almost like heart of the movie for me is certainly in like Dottie and Kit's relationship. I mean, it's the first time we meet them, right? It's you have this where it says like one of the quotes of the movie, which is where she's like, you know, you got to lay off the high ones. She's like, but I like the high ones. It's so great. For me, I do have this relationship with my brother sometimes where he, I think sometimes he's like just actually intellectually smarter than me and will say things, and I want him to not be right all the time, and yet he, like, I'm like, God, that's so annoying that you're right all the time. Like, that's totally right. You're right. And I could feel that with Kit being like, yeah, I like that. I'm actually really good at hitting the high ones, even though, I mean, I guess at the end she is, but yeah.
Yeah. When I was watching this last night, like, the first thing that came to my mind was like, this is a sister movie. This is such a sister movie. And it starts off like with the sister storyline. Then we get a bunch of like, this is the league, this is how it goes. And then towards the end, it's again to the sister relationship. And it just, I remember watching it, and this was like the first time as an older sister, I realized like how my impact could be on my younger sister. Like when Kit says, if you're here, I'm not here. You know, I was like, oh, well, what is happening to like here in my house with my sister? And like, you know, I was like, are you okay? Like, let's just like have a little chat. Like, I'm not asking to be like kicked out of the league or anything. I just need to know. So I think it really holds true to the sister dynamic throughout the whole time. And like the whole reunion at the end is a big, you know, a big moment. And even at the very beginning, like old Dottie telling her grandchildren, you know, you're the older brother, anything you have to do is to, you know, protect your younger brother, but then telling the younger brother like, hey, go ahead and like give him hell on the court, is always, is the sibling relationship is there throughout the whole thing. And also this is directed by Penny Marshall and Gary Marshall's in it, and so we have like a sibling dynamic in the creation of the movie as well. So
that's really interesting.
I think it's part of it.
I actually, this reminds me of kind of a point that I want to bring up, and it's something that Grace and I have discussed before. Do you think when at the end of the movie, I'm really jumping here, but it's the right time to talk about it, when Dottie drops the ball, do you think that she did this on purpose? Because I never thought about it before until the last time I watched this movie a year ago. And I think that she dropped the ball on purpose so that Kit could have the win. It's always about Dottie. And I think that this was finally the time where in her mind, she was like, let my younger sister have the win. This is more important to her. And that scene that you spoke about, Marissa, where she tells her older grandson to go easy on her younger grandson because you're the older brother, like it's your job to take care of him. It really reinforces to me that this was an intentional decision in my mind for her to drop the ball, because as an older sibling, you do have an obligation to, in a way, take care and protect your younger sibling. It stinks. I'm an older sibling. I hate it. I hate that this is the role that I have to play. But there are sacrifices to be made as an older sibling. I know that younger siblings and middle siblings you might disagree, especially, I know this is all stereotypical, but
I can't remember what I said a year ago, but as the like, I am both like an older and a younger sibling, but my like close relationship is my oldest sibling, who are like, I could imagine us like us in this situation. And I absolutely don't want it to be true that my brother would drop the ball. I also think my brother would probably drop the ball. So I think you're probably right. And yet I'm like, I don't want it to be for Kit. I don't want her to have won because Dottie dropped the ball.
I know. I never want that to be the case, but I can't watch this movie without like realizing that this has to be in a way the truth, because I just think it just speaks to, once again, Dottie only joined the league so that Kit could be in the league. Like, you know, this was always more important to Kit, for Kit to get out. And ultimately, like, Kit had the bigger baseball career.
Yeah, I think like I am on team she did on purpose. I think that's been how I've seen it for a very long time. That could be just, again, older sibling reading in that situation. But I think like from a player perspective, from Dottie's perspective, the team made it there without her. So she can kind of feel like, hey, you know, they're going to make it here again. Like there's still time. And at this point, the league had been, you know, built up enough that there was security that there would be another season. There was all of this thing. So I think some of that helped in that, if that was her decision. I guess this is like, what's that movie, Lost in Translation, where Scarlett Johansson like whispers into Bill Murray's ears, like, what did you say? It's like, we have to ask Gina Davis, like, did she actually drop the ball on purpose or something like that?
Actually, there are articles about it. And I think that Gina Davis was a little cheeky about the whole situation.
Well, of course. Yeah.
I mean, it even said the way it is, like, over the years, fans and cast members have been divided over whether Dottie dropped the ball on purpose. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and that's what's great about the movie is like you could take it or leave it.
I agree. I think it's like brilliant. And I never really like thought about it until last year we were talking about it, that like whether it's an on purpose thing or not. And I think because the movie is so much about sisterhood, I think ultimately it's almost better if she does drop it on purpose. I think from like my reading of the movie, like all the reasons why you're explaining why she does do it, that if she like doesn't do it on purpose, she just drops the ball. I'm not sure there's as much like narrative juice there. Right. Cause like, I mean, other than I guess Kit's thing is a little bit like, that her sister's always been better, and that moment perhaps robs her of finally having a moment where she is just better than her sister. But I don't know.
Yeah, like, I mean,
Dottie would never admit it. So it's always going to be, it's really about what Kit's truth is. Kit's truth is that in that moment, she won for her team. Yeah. And that was her moment. And then she, you know, got to do the signatures after the game and she was the star. So that's her truth. And that's what matters at the end of the day.
And we have to remember Dottie too. Yes, she was playing in the league because of her sister, but the reason why she could do that is because her husband was in the war. And if Bob was at home, she would not have gone regardless of what Kit wanted to do. So there's also that at play in terms of Dottie's decisions, whether they be overtly or not in the movie. But the whole reason she's there, the whole reason she could be there in her mind, because she, like, the second Bob shows back up, she's like, I gotta go home. It's time to go.
It's so frustrating when she does that, because you're just thinking, you just have the playoffs and the World Series left.
Like, so close.
Yeah.
What's it to you for you to stay for the rest of the season?
The day before was the trade of her sister. I was like, all of that hullabaloo for and then you're just gonna be like, okay, bye.
It's a little maddening.
The Bob thing is very annoying, that she's like, okay, I'm gonna go. And like, I know, like, you know, I do love the scene when he's like, Alice, you gotta tell me, like, if she doesn't have her stuff today, you gotta let me know. And it's just like Gina Davis pops up. Like, I love it. I really love Gina Davis in this movie. I also love Lori Petty as Kit. Yes. I mean, again, I keep talking about how, like, I just think like all the performances in this movie are so good. But I think like with Gina, although there are things about her character, like the thing about Bob is to me quite annoying, that she'd be like willing to leave so close to the end of the season. But the whole time I just really want Dottie to like be at the game more than I'm like upset with Dottie in a way. Even the trade, I think it's like a very gut-wrenching scene. This like realizing that you would feel bad, right? If you're like, I'm going to quit. It's like, no, yeah, we'll make it work. And then your sister gets traded off the team. That's like brutal. That's a brutal tactic. Maybe the worst thing that, what's his name? The Ira scheme does in the whole thing is getting Kit traded. But I just think like Gina Davis and Lori Petty are like phenomenal in this movie. They play off each other well. They're both like unique. I don't know. They're just really tremendous.
Yeah, Lori Petty will always be from Girls Play Baseball in my mind. Like, that's her movie is League of Their Own. And I mean, no, I know she's also Tank Girl, and I know she's also on Station 11, and she has many other accomplished performances. But
Orange is the New Black.
Point
Break.
Excuse me, Patty Mayonnaise. The level of disrespect that both of you have displayed today.
Way to represent the 90s though, Sarah. Good job.
I know, I'm still just holding on to Doug from the 90s. It's really pathetic.
It's not. I love Doug. No.
I love the 90s, Doug. I hear they teach you a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, an adequate amount, really.
What a sell job for your pod.
Lori Petty is great. And I think that you do want to root for Kit. Like, she might be the younger, annoying sibling in some ways, but also she's the underdog. You want Kit to get into the league. You want Kit to, you know, pitch really well and not get taken out. And she's also, she's so scrappy. And I think it, she's easy to root for. And so is Dottie, of course. But it was always such like such a sour point where these two kind of just got in the way of each other. And I mean, in that one scene where Kit wasn't pitching well that day, I think that if anybody else told Kit that she had to leave the game because of she just wasn't doing her job that day, that happens all the time in baseball, I would assume. Well, I know it does, but I don't think it would be as personal as it was her sister saying, like, yeah, you're out of the game.
She said you could have stuck up for me today.
Yeah, there's at one point where she says you could have backed me up instead of pulling me back. And, you know, and I think what's really interesting is just like you go through this whole movie and you're like, oh, look at the sisters. They're so good. And it's all this built up resentment from Kit that kind of just ends up coming out. And it just speaks to, you know, how sometimes we have to tell people things before it gets a little, you know, a little too much. But I totally get it from Kit's perspective.
Well, it's the littlest things too. It makes me think of when they were in etiquette class where the teacher basically said that Dottie was prettier. And if you look at Kit's face when she said that, like her world just breaks that moment because she got the compliment first, right? But of course her sister has to one up her and get the bigger compliment. And it's just like the littlest things. And when you have a sibling that's the golden child, every single micro interaction you have is like hurts more and more and more because you're continuing to compare yourself to her or to your sibling. And it sucks. It really does. But that's just the fact about sibling relationships. So complex.
It cuts deeper, right? This like that thing of like pulling her from the game because it feels like it's, you know, there's something to like if somebody is just the manager of the team to say like, no, she has to come out versus like, no, it's my own sister.
I think that Jimmy knew what he was doing in that situation too. Oh, I think there's like some exploitation of that relationship in that call, which of course Jimmy is a whole other topic in terms of his management style, management realization that he's having a job.
He's a horrible mess. I mean Tom Hanks is fantastic. Maybe the love of my life, but more importantly, he is such a good actor and he can really play a big jerk easily. In a lot of movies that he's in, he can be a big jerk. But once again, I think this movie does a really good job of, you know, endearing you to Jimmy over time. For the majority of the movie, he is not a good manager. He's not a good coach. He's barely there. It's really Dottie who's running the team.
I feel like it's a really interesting point in his career that he takes on the job. I don't know if there's anything that I love more than like Tom Hanks yelling, like just like the way he like the way his voice maneuvers to like yell is so good. Even the like there's no crying in baseball line, like the first time, it's just like the way he says like baseball. I can't even do it, but it's so good. But it's a really interesting point. He's had some like successes. He's like been in Splash and Big, Turner and Hooch is a couple of years before. And he takes this one, which I think we're like, it's really interesting. I think when we watched this movie last year, so we were talking about that so it looks like in the TV show, not to like veer back into the TV show, but that Nick Offerman's going to play this sort of, you know, the role of not Jimmy Dugan, but Jimmy Dugan like character as character. And I think that like, again, if the idea of like, if they remade the movie today and like recast everybody, I think Jimmy Dugan is written a fair amount differently in terms of, I don't know if like that's the way it was back then, like works. You know, because he's, I mean, the first scene we see him when he comes in the locker room, the first time they meet him, he rips up somebody's like souvenir that they want signed. He's like awful and disgusting and like not a good dude, and yet he's like redeemed, I guess, by the end of the movie. Well, to a degree, too. I don't know if we all agree with that, but yeah,
I think it's important to so this is not a justification, but it's a context in terms of baseball and masculinity. So like Jimmy Dugan had like a huge career, had an injury, and then is offered like a management position. He's like, oh, this is great. But then he has to hang out with a bunch of girls. And he says, like, ball players, I've got girls, girls I want to sleep with after the game, not coach. Like, he's not even in this mentality. And the thing is that baseball and masculinity have been tied together for such a long time. Like, you throw like a girl is something that people can hear from time to time. And even, you know, they used to say baseball separates the men from the boys. So something about standing over a plate and hitting a hitting a ball with a stick is the picture of masculinity, that and like the boys club and all of that. So like, I totally don't like his behavior, but I think it's appropriate for the time and the scene, given the context of everything that's there. Does that?
No, like, I get what you're saying, but I also wonder how much like when they're gonna build this Nick Offerman character. I also feel like his alcoholism is like, it's not treated. I mean, that first scene, it definitely is treated as a joke, but also it's not really explored in any real way in terms of like, as soon as he just like, okay, commits to like doing the job, then he's like kind of no longer an alcoholic. Yeah. I just think there's like some stuff in this film that like, again, I love this film. I'm like not trying to like poo-poo it, but like I think that I'm interested to see how they build the sort of like coach who doesn't want to coach the women in 2022 as opposed to 1992.
Yeah, agreed. Well, also in the movie's instance, Jimmy didn't qualify for the draft either because of his injury. So it's like, I can't play baseball, I can't go to war, and now I am managing girls like from a masculinity lens, that could be. So like in 2022, in that time period, there might be similar things of like not being able to provide for your family, or still the war thing could come into play.
Yeah, we haven't talked about this yet, but the show is basically an adaptation, and so this is like not a sequel, it seems, that it will be, although I think I did see that's like at least some of the cast, not that they're gonna play the same characters they play, but they might appear as cameos, but basically the idea that like it's sort of a reset on this time period, they're gonna, you know, and so certainly there'll still be a 1943, right? So what that looks like for like that Nick Offerman character, I think will be interesting.
Also, having Nick Offerman play is pretty cool because he's also from Illinois, and then there's also Rockford. So big up for Illinois on this pod.
Yeah, the Nick Offerman headline is pretty new for me. I didn't realize that he was going to be in this. I'm really excited for him. The thing is that Nick Offerman plays Nick Offerman in most of what he does. So I'm just expecting Nick Offerman to play himself.
Well, I think to the degree that it's a little bit like, although as I was saying, like in terms of where this movie ends up in Tom Hanks's career, it's like fairly early. This is like pre-Philadelphia, pre-Forrest Gump, pre-Castaway, pre-Apollo 13, pre-Saving Private Ryan. Like it's before his like big stuff,
and it's around the same time as his big three rom-coms. So Joe and the Volcano, Sleepless in Seattle, and You've Got Mail. It's like kind of sandwiched in between there.
Yeah, it's after Joe vs. the Volcano, but before the other
Change.
So it's a really, you know, in terms of like him kind of coming in and being like a hateable guy, I guess, to an extent in You've Got Mail. I guess he kind of
you cannot tell Jessica Starling that he is not the most hateable creature in the universe in You've Got Mail.
He plays like a redeemable jerk a lot of the times, right? That's like,
yes, I think that's kind of his specialty. And I think that maybe parts of why you start to forgive Jimmy or like Jimmy is because you just really like Tom Hanks, at least in my, I think that I have like rose-colored glasses when it comes to Tom Hanks.
Woody's kind of a jerk.
Woody's kind of a jerk. 100%.
Big old jerk to butt.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. But also, it's like, don't come in my arena, sir. This is my toy box, and you can step out, please.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's what's happening here. He's like, don't come in my arena. Baseball's for men, not for women.
Yeah. Can we talk about one of the funniest scenes from this movie, which is where he's sort of like, when he sees that Dottie is running the team and it annoys him, right? Even though he has had no interest in doing so. And so he gets up and he starts doing the hand signs, the baseball signs, and him and Dottie. And so you have Marla like stepping in and out of the box.
Getting
the different hand signs, them each just like doing it essentially at the same time. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Yeah. I call it the Marla shuffle. I love Marla. Little shuffle back and forth out of just like confusion of what she can possibly, who should she follow? Yeah, that's a great moment. I think that no crying in baseball, that's for me as like a sensitive kid that was always crying in every opportunity that she got, that always stuck with me. I think that he does have a lot of funny moments. And then the second time when he is speaking to
Evelyn,
and literally shaking in anger, but trying so hard to not make her just bawl her eyes out.
It's also maybe a practice in the off season.
It's also like made super great by her reaction in that scene too, because she's like, "Thank you, Mr. Dugan. Okay, thanks."
It is pretty good. I mean, obviously this cast is like super. I feel like to a degree is like what would be. Like top heavy, I think, although it's like, you know, in terms of who we talk to, but I think like, I don't know many of the other women who are in there, but they're all pretty great. They're all great actors.
We did mention Marla for a moment. I do want to mention two other Marla moments. Marla in Beauty and Charm School is me in Beauty and Charm School. I'm like, yes, Marla. Yes, I cannot do any of that. And then also Marla getting drunk at the bar and singing to Nelson is one of my favorite times. And the fact that she has a wedding with baseball bats over her instead of swords, which I guess is, you know, not a thing people would do these days, but baseball bats totally.
Yeah. I understand that, especially in that time, a lot of these women feel like their obligation is to be a wife and a mother. But once again, just like the fact that Marla decided to get married and leave the league for at least that season before she made it to the playoffs in the World Series, that always frustrated me because she's like the best hitter and she has like such a great arm, and I was always so frustrated by that. It's like, Marla, can you just get married like in the winter? It's okay.
There was a war on, Sarah, a war.
That's true. Do you think Nelson was about to be conscripted? I see one of the things in this movie I really like is Marla and her father. He probably like could seem like a little like you know, dad coach, you know, like you know, they're like doing practice and the thing, but I feel like how much like confidence he has in his daughter. I like it. I feel like we don't you know, we don't really know Dottie or Kit's parent. I think we see some of Doris's dad is at the one of the games, but I love the relationship with like Marla and her dad in terms of like he's so supportive, he's so, you know, and like that's the other one that like I think, you know, if we're talking about like whether it holds up or not to an extent, the like Marla's ugly, like it's like, okay,
yeah, you can ring that, but
you know, I think like to the point of like her comedic chops in that like beauty school scene is like great, but it's a little like, you know, they often just like put a camera at her. I guess she like is very purposely trying to make like a kind of a weird face or whatever, but like, yeah. But her dad's so supportive. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's a good point. About how they focus on her in that scene. I just related in terms of I am very not prim and proper when it comes to
I think she's
charm in beauty school.
No, I'm with you. I think she's like very, it's like some of these things where like, you know, I love comedy. I love watching. Sometimes like I watch old comedy that I'm like, you know, I'm a Monty Python fan. And so I'm like, yeah, it's like, you know, all these like men in dresses stuff. I'm like, I get that. It's like, I can see why it's funny. And also like, but it's like, you're punching down instead of punching up.
Yeah. But I also want to point out that it was never the women who were going after Marla for her looks. They never ostracized her. They never were like, Marla, you need a makeover.
Agreed.
But it was always the men, and always in the situations, it made the men look bad and not Marla and not the women. And I especially like when Dottie and Kit literally put their bags down and said, if you're not going to take her off the basis that of what she looks like, then we're not going either.
That's true.
And I think that it's kind of great that the women were always supporting Marla. They had her back when she was at the bar singing. They were super supportive when she got married. So I just like how it was like women building up Marla and other women.
I think that feels like a Penny Marshall, you know, like I feel like this may be directed by not a woman. I think it could feel a little bit like different than it did.
I think we also see that in the relationship that I don't remember her name because she's Madonna. May. Oh, yeah. All the way May, which is a whole other thing we should talk about. But how May teaches the other player how to read. Like, it's not like, you know, we look down on you or anything like that. It's okay. Let's help you.
I love the scene when the girl can't read her name on the thing and they it gets me. So, and I'm like I've watched this movie so many times. And I'm so like, but what if she gets cut? What if her name is not on the list? She's on the cut list. And then I love that May is teaching her how to read like erotica.
Smutty books. It's so good. And once again, the women, when she got on the team, everybody was clapping for her. They were super happy and super supportive. And it's such a feel good movie, right? It makes you feel good because everyone's rooting for each other. And the smutty books is like so funny. Such a good moment. And I love that too. And I love Madonna. I think she is so iconic, and I really love her in this movie because it's something different. I mean, that's what the great thing about Madonna is, that she's always changing, she's always playing a different character. She was in a way like one of the first people who can always change her look in their different eras, and this is kind of a different version of Madonna that we've seen before. And I love her in this part. And I love her friendship with Rosie's character, Doris, as well.
That's what I was going to say, is I love Madonna as May. I love Rosie O'Donnell's Doris. I think there's something that works so well in terms of their like friendship. Go ahead, Marissa.
It's their real friendship that's showing through. Right. Like, I think that's what we're seeing.
Right. There's like a moment where May is getting her picture taken, and then Doris comes up and like puts her head on her shoulder, and she's like, best player in the league. And she's like, oh, thanks. You know, and they're just like, they're just so like casually friends. I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah. They're kind of like the Abbott and Costello or Bert and Ernie type of character for this movie.
Yes, I totally agree. Maybe we'll take a quick commercial break. We come back, we'll chat through more of the movie and perhaps our thoughts and expectations about the TV show.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, we are back. I think one thing we haven't really talked about, we've sort of like danced around it to a degree, but the premise of this movie, the thing I said is sort of like the looming threat of the movie, which is that the war is happening, and therefore necessitates essentially the creation of the League. But very early on, I mean, one part very early on is that like women aren't selling as many tickets as normal, which, you know, the movie seems to like imply it's mostly Dottie who like, invigorates the League. But, you know, whatever. And then the idea at the end of the season that like, well, even though it's a success, the boys are going to come back. The war is going well. We don't need this league, the men's league. They won't miss a season. So we'll be all fine. And it's very funny for me that like, it feels very 1992 of this movie to have Ira Lowenstein basically like, pleading like, it's a product. It's a product. You know, it's essentially like, capitalism is like, you know, women can sell tickets too, which is like so funny as like the moral of the story, which like, it's so funny how sometimes we have like, that is objectively true and women should get to play baseball, professional baseball as well. But like, he has to sell it as like, but they're a product, they're a successful product that we could sell money, we can make money off of this, is very funny. But that's like, you know, this big overarching thing of the movie.
Yeah, and I think the product that's being sold is something we should talk about. Like, they're not selling necessarily baseball, because if when they were selling just baseball, they weren't getting the tickets that they needed. Yep. It wasn't until Dottie did the splits and caught a ball. It wasn't until they even, like, in real life, they shortened the skirts on the uniforms to help sell more tickets. I don't know how you could slide in these things to begin with, like,
well, they have shorts underneath,
yeah, but still, like, I know, like, yeah, like my sister was playing softball with a pad, and like,
I know,
think for sliding,
Marissa. How, in comparison, how did the movie make the skirts shorter than it was in real life, or is that really the they were that's okay? Yeah. I will say it like, probably not baseball appropriate, but the outfits are really cute. I'm sorry.
They are. They still sell them. Like, you can go to Rockford, Illinois, and people will be walking around in Rockford Peaches uniforms. They're still very popular.
But I think you're right. Like, I think that it was really the showmanship. It was sex that sells, but it's really like the showmanship as well, because the girls like had their own little bits throughout, and then so they came for the showmanship, but they stayed for the good baseball.
Well, right, and I think it's also just like, this could be me getting too commentary, but this is a podcast, so I guess that's what I'm here to do. So like, women just can't be. So like, there's this one intro reel where it's like, she's a first baseman and she makes great coffee. She's a first baseman and she sews the thing. So like, they can't just play baseball. They have to play baseball and do the splits and do a cartwheel and do these things. There's just that like extra thing that women had to do to be taken seriously, even though they were incredibly skilled ball players.
I also wonder with the TV show, because I feel like to a degree, League of Their Own is a pretty family friendly movie. I think, and I wonder how much, you know, you certainly have people like taunting the women, but I also will be intrigued to see how, because I think that's probably like, to say that the like taunting that they get was probably tamer than what they actually got, I think is probably true. And I wonder if the Amazon Prime show, in the essence of like, I think trying to be, not that I don't think the movie does a bad job, I think the movie certainly tells the story of like women's empowerment, and how women are viewed. And I think, you know, but I'm wondering how much the show might push that a little bit to a degree, in terms of like what it was like the drastic difference between being, like a woman baseball player versus a men's baseball player.
Well, you can tell a different story in 2022. You can tell you have society has seen different things on screen between now and then. So I'm excited to see where they take them. But even like even having a character, I think by having All the Way May was like the movie's way of kind of, and May's character as a whole was their way of kind of addressing, like it was very narrow in how that was portrayed.
Well, you even have when they're being introduced, it's one of the first scenes when they're I think before or after their first game, and they're it's this one of like, yeah, she's a third baseball player and a great cook or whatever. There's with they do Dottie and then they do Kit, and it says, and she's single, which is like a wild that would be. Imagine watching any male sport where it's like, this is Mike Trout, and he's not that he's single. I know, he's, okay, but like, yeah,
I have to be honest. Yes. Whenever I go to baseball games,
you do check if they're single.
Every single time, every single time. Because now they have all those like really fun intro videos where they're like spinning in front of fire, and I'm like, ooh, like he looks pretty cute, let me see who is he married. I do that every single time, and it would save me time
if you do intro video. Okay, if the intro video did it,
yeah, if the intro videos were like, hi, I'm spinning in fire and also I'm single, and then I don't have to Google it.
Now stepping up to the plate, third baseman Jim Smith, single. it would be confusing because that's actually his dating status and not his last step
back. Yeah, I was gonna say.
yeah it might be a little confusing, it might be like a little, you know, objectifying men, but I will say it would save me a little bit of time on the Google.
It's fair enough. It's totally
but
fair.
What are the things you could provide, sir?
My version of playing baseball or watching baseball is very different than probably most people.
Yeah, notoriously, George Costanza went to the Yankees and suggested cotton uniforms. But you said you're going to go to the Yankees and suggest, can we get the relationship status just like somewhere on the bar? You There's know, I know really you have batting Yankees average.
These days. I don't know.
It always helpful if they say, and his wife is in this, you know, is in the building. Yeah. You know, that's helpful. Yeah.
And then I stay away.
Cross it off. Yeah. One thing I like about this movie that I think works really well, and it makes me so, I don't know. I just love this movie so much. But I do think the flash forward at the end, like the beginning of like it's older Dottie, and then at the end when it's like older. The only thing it's like I thought was kind of is like the only person they trusted to be an old in makeup was Gina Davis. Nobody else was allowed to be to both play their younger and older selves. She's the only one allowed to do that. Even Kitty, who I thought that they might see, everybody else is concerned. The alarms went up. They couldn't have put Kitty. They couldn't have put Lori Petty in makeup.
I don't know why.
I was like sitting there going, is Gina Davis that old now? Like, should we compare? Like, how does Gina Davis look? Probably looks like way better in real life than she did in this 1992 movie.
There's a TikTok I'm seeing that was doing recently, like taking older pictures of celebrities and using AI stuff that we have now in terms of like aging them and seeing how close it is. And sometimes it's like actually not bad. Sometimes it's like way bad. It's way awful. But yeah. Yeah. How old is Gina Davis? Let's see.
I'm always.
She looks so good.
She does. Right?
Yeah.
Like, she's 66 now.
She's so really young. I really feel that I got duped that this was many a moons ago, but it's really, really not.
She's so classy.
She's 6 foot tall. Good for her.
Yeah.
I just think it's so funny that older Kit looks more like Lori Petty than Lori Petty does today. I'm always so amazed by it. Like the casting was like brilliant, but I mean Lori Petty is an icon, but she does not look like older Lori Petty.
Agreed. I think so much of the casting is actually really well done of like the 1988 versions of the women. It's actually like pretty good. I feel like once you get like past the main cast though, I love that they just have Gina Davis being like, oh, Evelyn, like, oh, Alice, like, oh,
it's like it helps. Just like we have to list every single one. I think like you know, Marla's was the easiest because then she did the silly Marla face, just like Marla did. I was like, oh yeah, I know, that's definitely Marla.
Well, and having me and Doris together, like,
yes,
you can figure out who's who.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think we need like another 10, I think actually maybe 20 years before we can see what Gina Davis would, no, we need 15 more years until we can compare. I think if I'm doing the math correctly, the difference between the movie, like 1943, and then is like 45 years. And the difference in the movie, this is the 30th anniversary of the movie. So we need 15 more years to really see.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
they just celebrated their 30th anniversary of The League of Their Own, which is amazing. It's spectacular. All in all, Grace, like, do you think that this movie lasted the test of time?
I think what I was saying at the beginning was I love everything that's in this movie. The thing that I think is hard, and the reason why it probably doesn't, it's like it maybe doesn't hold up, is by omission, which is probably a good segue into talking about what our, you know, thoughts are about, you know, what we're expecting from this TV show, because I think it feels like the TV show is there. They have an acknowledgement that, like, sexuality, race, are things that, like, were just as front of mind, just as much things that were important to these, the people who played in this league, as being a woman. And so I think that, those are things that are omitted from the movie that I would expect, you know, as we know, there were queer women who played in the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. And so the show seems like it's going to venture there. And it's the only thing I feel like the movie, it feels, I think if I look back at this movie when I'm watching it, it feels glossy to a degree that makes sense from a Hollywood movie. And so I still love it. I'll watch this many more times. But I think, like, it's tricky in terms of, like, does it hold up? I don't know what you think, Marissa.
I think when I watch this movie, I now have to watch it with the fact and understanding that it was made in 1992. Like, it's not one that I could be like, let's just jump right into the story. But it, for what it was in 1992, this is a very progressive film. There are very few men in this movie. And at that time, that was not something that was done. It was directed by a woman. It was casted by mostly women. And
you're talking about the Bechdel test, Mercy.
So the Bechdel test. Okay, this is the Bechdel test.
It's such a low bar, the lowest of bars. I love it.
Does it have at least two women in it? Check. Who talk to each other? Check. About something besides a man? Check. But it does that so many times throughout the movie. So one of the things that I appreciate watching it now in 2022 is the fact that this was a movie that could get made in 1992, given the fact that in 1992, we had a presidential White House scandal where there was also conversations about what women should and shouldn't do. Not that those conversations aren't still continuing now. And I think it is really interesting, given the current landscape with Roe versus Wade, that we're now getting another League of Their Own movie, and I'm interested to see how that lands in the cultural landscape. But this is like, just like knowing that something like this could be made in 1992 is what I take away from this movie, besides the feel good, besides the sisters, besides everything. There are some things when I was watching it, I was like, oh, not so much. Like, even there's a point when Jimmy says, if it wasn't hard, we don't quit. Like when Dottie wants to quit.
Yeah.
He's like, it's supposed to be hard. If it wasn't hard, everyone would do it. It's the hard that makes it great. And I'm just like, I really hope we've outgrown that mentality, because that's what leads to, like, burnout and stress and all of those things too.
We haven't really talked about John Lovitz, but John Lovitz is a little bit gross in this movie.
Yeah.
And Tom Hanks, when he's asleep in the bus and the, like, manager goes to, like, wake him up and they kiss, and then he's like, gross. Like, it's like, all right. But, you know, he also, like, kisses her. That, you know. I don't know. What about you, Sarah?
Yeah, what about you?
I mean, overall, I think that I think that this is a beloved movie, and a lot of the times I am thinking like, oh, is it nostalgia goggles? Is the fact that I've been watching this movie since I was a child why I love it so much? But I think that anybody that has an appreciation for the sport of baseball and the history that comes with it, I think could enjoy the movie. I am looking forward for the series for more. I think that Grace is right. It's like, you know, we want, it's not that I want to take away from the movie. It's more so I want to add to the movie. I'm really looking forward to seeing women of color. I'm really looking forward to exploring, I mean, the real life sexuality of these women. I think that all of this is going to be extremely interesting and endearing. I'm really enthusiastic about the cast as well. I think that it's going to be really fun. And for me personally, I number one, I'm going into this like pretty blind. I haven't even seen the trailer, to be honest with you. Is there a trailer? I'm assuming there is.
Yeah.
Haven't seen it. I'm going to go into it a little bit blind because I want to, you know, go in it with my own thoughts and opinions and be surprised and excited about it. And I'm really looking forward to it. I like that it's a total refresh of the story. I think that it can, I'm optimistic that this is going to be an enjoyable watch. I think that Amazon Prime does a really good job. One of my favorite new shows is The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I haven't seen the latest season, but up until the latest season, I can't say more good things about that. And a part of that was the representation of Jewish women. A show about you know, a Jewish wife that goes off on her own. Phenomenal. Never saw that before on television. Well,
a period piece as well.
Period piece as well.
60s.
Yeah, I think the same audience that watches Mrs. Maisel is probably going to be watching A League of Their Own, and I'm part of that audience, so I'm looking forward.
Yeah. I was nervous when I saw that it's like a reset, but I think to the point I'm saying, I'm sort of contradicting myself in the sense of like, yeah, they didn't totally tell the full story. And so it sounds like what they're going to try to do is to do that. And by like wiping the slate clean, there's a bit of me that's like, oh, that means like in that world, like there's no Dottie, there's no Kit, no Jimmy Dugan. But I think, I only found this out like within the last day. So now that I know that, I can like go into this with like excitement that like they're going to build something new. They're adapting it, which I think could work.
Well, and I think it's very like, it just got me thinking about how change happens and how things happen. Like a movie, the movie walked so the TV show could run, hopefully, is like the story that we're telling at the end of our podcasting journey with the TV show.
If we could track them down, did you know they tried a TV show in 1993? Did you know that they tried this?
Oh!
5 of 6 episodes only ever got made. They recast Gina Davis. They tried it.
We couldn't handle it. Oh, we only got a movie. Like, we can't have a movie and a TV show too close together. That's too much.
In 1993, it was on CBS. It lasts 5 of 6 episodes. Yeah. Wow. They recast Jimmy Dugan. They recast everybody. Only a few people. Marla stays, John Lovett stays, and
John Lovett's
Gary Marshall stays. That's about it. Yeah.
Isn't he busy with Rat Race or something? Like, how did he get to stay?
I don't know.
No. Money is how he got to stay.
Yeah. Penny Marshall does direct episode. Tom Hanks directs an episode. So I don't know. It could be worth like, but you want to hear some of the plots? This will be good.
Let's go for it.
Okay. First episode, Dottie's back. Dottie comes back to her team after her husband is called back into service. Episode 2, Fat Boys of Summer.
Like, she can't play though with her husband around. Anyway, continue.
The girls challenge Jimmy's old teammates to a game. Episode 3, The Monkey's Curse. The team gets a chimpanzee as a new mascot.
What?
No. Out. I'm out.
Jumps the shark by episode 2?
Episode 4, and these are some spoilers. Jimmy and Dottie, drinking problems is the name of the episode. Jimmy and Dottie go on a date together after Jimmy is dumped and Dottie's husband forgets their anniversary. Episode 5, Marathon. This is so classic 90s TV. The team gets entered into a dance marathon.
What is this?
And the series finale, which was never aired, is called Shortstop. Jimmy hires a new shortstop based on her looks.
Oh.
Okay. Well, it's no surprises why this got canceled.
Weird though, because the new show took all of these episode titles. Like they're redoing these ones.
Yeah, of course. I can't wait for the chimpanzees, the picture episode. It's gonna be the best.
The monkey's paw.
Sometimes I'm so gullible. I'm like, really? Like, really? That's the thing that's happening?
Yeah. Yeah. They're rebooting the TV show, not the movie. Yeah. All right. Anything else we miss? Is there anything else we should discuss before we go? We'll be back soon.
We'll be back. Yeah. Just a spectacular, you know, we didn't go through every single character, but I think that the movie does a really great job highlighting each and every woman on the team. And I'm excited to seeing that on the show as well.
Oh, you know what's like the saddest scene in the movie is when Betty Spaghetti gets like the news that her better husband. It's like,
well, first of all, the guy can't even like remember, like he knows what his job is. Oh, can you just like read the note before you enter the room? Like, come on.
Oh, that guy's the worst.
I also am not a big Stillwell fan, I have to admit.
No, I hate that kid.
His name is Stillwell.
Yeah. They only get me when he's like, what about Evelyn? He's like, ah, she passed. I'm like, okay, fine. You can have some sympathy.
I hate that kid so bad. He's the worst.
I do like the one scene though where he's like, you're gonna lose. But then Jimmy's like, we're gonna win. Like he's like, he knows that it's gonna happen. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we will be back next week, exactly a week from now, when all of the episodes drop. There's 8 episodes. We're going to watch episode 1 and record about it, and we'll take our time. I think we're looking at probably roughly 2 episodes a week, although, you know, with our many busy schedules. We'll be able to get out, but, schedule may change as needed. That is our plan. It all drops. I think we're gonna try for the most part to like keep ourselves unspoiled. I don't think we actually had talked about that internally, so I'm like asking my co-host if that's our plan. If it is our plan, we would appreciate not being spoiled on the show. There are a few ways you can get in touch with us to provide feedback about the show. If you get all the way through it, there's a few ways you could get your feedback. If you become a patron of Post Show Recaps, postshowrecaps.com/Patreon or patreon.com/postshowrecaps. At any level, you get access to the Discord in which you could chat about the TV show, probably in the television channel, or a $10 level. There will be a league of their own specific thread. So chat with us in there, and you can use spoiler tags and mark what episode you're talking about. We can get all your feedback. You could also email me, grace@postshowrecaps.com. If you could just put in the header what episodes you're referring to, that would be great. Otherwise, just be very, you know, try to figure out how to mark your spoiler tags if you're going to DM us or send us a message on Twitter. Just be mindful that we might not have seen the whole thing the day it comes out. Marissa, what else are you up to? Where can people find you?
Well, I'm also talking about another TV show called The Bear, here on Post Recaps with my good friend LaTanya. So we are talking about Chicago, sandwiches, and trauma. So if you are interested in any one of those things, join us over there. That coverage will be throughout the month of August. And I just wrapped up Umbrella Academy coverage with Mary Kwiatkowski. So if you have also recently finished binging that show, we have all of the pods for you in the feed. Otherwise, you can find me in the Discord or on Twitter at MarsBars, MarzBars. What about you, Sarah?
Yeah, so in terms of Post Show Recaps, of course, I'm super excited to continue talking about League of Their Own with both of you. But Jessica Sterling and I are also going to be starting a new rewatch podcast for the new HBO show, Pretty Little Liars. I have one passion in life. Well, actually two, League of Their Own, but also Pretty Little Liars. It ruled my life for a big period of my life. So I'm very excited about that reboot. Should be a bit of a mess, but look out in the feed to see the Pretty Little Liars coverage, Original Sin. Spooky.
Wow.
Very spooky. I also, with Jessica, have a podcast, the aforementioned Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. We do a bunch of 90s content, including a Boy Meets World rewatch, a Dawson's Creek rewatch, my first time ever watching Dawson's Creek, such an adventure, as well as 90s movies. Like last year, Grace and I talked about League of Their Own. If you want to listen to that, more coverage of League of Their Own, check that out, Shit 90s Pod on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me at Sarah Ferguson.
Here on Post Show Recaps, I'm covering Blackbird, the Apple TV Plus miniseries with Taron Egerton, with Ariel. Also just finished wrapping up The Old Man with Philly, another good miniseries, as well as What We Do in the Shadows with Lindsay Wilson. And then I think The Sandman is the other show that I believe just got announced I'll be covering with Philly. As soon as we finish The Old Man, we're going to jump into The Sandman. Shows with man in them, I guess, is our brand.
This is your specialty.
This is our specialty. And then, of course, weekly movie coverage on Post Show Recaps Theater with Ariel. This week, we covered Nope with LaTanya. And then Ariel is off for just one episode. I covered The Gray Man with Austin. I'm so excited about that. Next week, we're going to be covering Marcel the Shell with Shoes On, which is so cute. It's so friggin' cute. Go see it. Over on Rob is a podcast cover sports with the Osby podcast, and you can catch me playing Dungeons and Dragons once or twice a week over on twitch.tv/DM Philly. We'll be back in a week's time with our episode one coverage. Do we have a sign off? I always forget to think.
Lay off the high ones.
Lay off the high ones. That's good. But I like the high ones.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumba. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.